now.
Okay, so let's talk about it, Jeff. Motivation. And motivation is a really big topic, not just for motivating your staff. That's something that leaders can do. They can, there's different ways to motivate them with flexible work hours, incentives, perks, benefits, like just sometimes having health insurance is a really big benefit for people, and that's a motivator. Or sending them on retreats, bonuses, things like that. But the big one is motivating yourself. So entrepreneurs have this reputation, right? Like, oh, these people are driven. Executives have a reputation. They're driven. They don't need like this motivational stuff. But sometimes showing up is hard. And by showing up, I mean showing up as close to 100% as you can get is hard, right? And so, I mean, I know I've faced days where I don't feel like showing up, so, which is surprising to hear for people sometimes. You're doing all these different things. Sometimes I just don't feel like showing up. Talk to me about that. Motivating yourself, even on tough days.
Yeah, well, always great to see you, Raj. Look, one of the things that's come out of COVID is a reduced capacity. We're getting such a rise in mental health issues, apathy, lack of motivation. Self-care is on the forefront, right? Because
Yeah,
people
I
need
see a lot
it
of stuff about it.
more.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1,000%, right? And so, one of the questions I would start with is like, well, what motivates you? I'm not asking you this yet, but like really what motivates you? And I think, so that was Alexa wanting to know what motivates me, I think. So for that background. But so what I will tell you is that right now I see a lot of leaders operating on sort of m more autopilot and having to each day sort of gear up, and figure out what motivates them. I'll turn it over to you for a second, and then I'll kind of maybe share some examples. But can you, when you, I mean, what about you? Like back when you were, in one of your former lives, what motivated you?
It was a wide variety of things. So when I ran my companies, I built them to sell them. I didn't build them to be something that I would be doing for the next 40 years, and so my ideal was to figure out, well, what's the path to the exit for the company? And there were days where I really struggled because, running back and forth, taking the kids to this, that, and the other thing. And I'd actually built one of my prior businesses to be a lifestyle company so that I could enjoy the income while still enjoying my life with, being coach of the kids' soccer team or, making sure that I don't miss a play, those kind of things. So those were important motivating factors. But in terms of like just like showing up, I really enjoy what I do. I really enjoy what I do. And so just that alone, coming up and saying, okay, today I'm going to create something. And so I would find things. I know that like for me, what drains my energy is operational activities. So anytime I had to go face something where, okay, end of the month or end of the quarter, oh, we got to get our tax stuff done. Oh, I got to talk to, but those days were draining. So what I would try to do is, to the extent possible, pepper in something that I knew I would enjoy. Like, I like creating, I like writing, I like coming up with new product designs, things like that. So I would try to schedule that in. Didn't always work, but to me, that was like, that was my little shining light in the day.
That's actually great. I mean, if we can talk about personal things, right? So Saturday is my non-client facing day of working, getting up early and working all day on the business and doing everything I can't do during client facing days during the week. And I love having like even if something as simple as a friend saying, "Hey, you want to go out to dinner," or something. Like having something, scheduling your time, first of all, because that keeps me focused. I got to get all this done before X time. But then having something simple, and again, it can be simple or silly, it doesn't matter, but something that's enjoyable. I actually remember way back, my gosh, 1995, and I was taking my comprehensive exams for psychology, and which is 10 years worth of material. And it was like, you know, 8-hour exam. And a friend and I were getting together for dinner late that night. And it seemed silly, but like, I thought of that throughout, you know, the strenuous of like taking the exam, and it created some positive feelings inside, which was, you know, helpful in getting through the day.
Mm-hmm. So creating some sort of mental trigger that's a reward for you that would help initiate those, or bring about those positive feelings, kind of help you show up and get through whatever you've got to do that's, you know, distracting you.
Yeah. So you mentioned mental triggers. So can I share with you a simple technique that I've used with folks to help them reconnect to what's important? Yeah. Which
sure, let's give it a shot. So this is something that people may be able to, whoever's listening, might be able to use as a way to motivate themselves. Even on those tough days. All right, let's give it a try. I'll be the guinea pig here. Go ahead.
All right, good. So it's called three question mantra.
Okay.
All right. So what is so think about something you need to motivate. Tell me briefly what's something that you need to get motivate yourself around.
Something I need. Oh, well, for me that's kind of easy. It's like just doing my bookkeeping every month. Oh, it's just. Not a big fan of all that. So yeah.
Well, by the way, before we get to three question mantra, obviously whatever you can delegate.
Yeah.
Another way.
Yeah.
Don't do things.
Very true. And so I do actually have people to help me out, but like you still have to oversee it.
Exactly.
You know, just got to make sure like all these numbers correct, all that kind of stuff. So
exactly.
Yeah. So all right. I mean, like, if you want to go like much broader, it's like getting your taxes done at the end. Cause that, yeah, you delegate it to somebody, but at the same time, you got to make sure everything's correct.
Well, okay. So whether it's the taxes or the bookkeeping, what's important about that for you?
Well, that just gives you the information you need to see how well you're doing. And, you know, it's a law. You've got to take care of your taxes, and you don't want to do your bookkeeping all the way at the end, because then it becomes like a real big nightmare. So you want to do that throughout the year, throughout the, in my case, monthly, because it's a small organization. But yeah, that's.
Okay. So is it fair to say it's something about, it's connected to being a successful business owner?
Yeah, I think, you could say that. I mean, you need to just make sure that you got to know your numbers, and that's how you do it, right? So it's beyond bookkeeping for software companies, for example. You got to know all kinds of other metrics. But yeah, at the very base level, all companies need to make sure that they've got their numbers straight. What did we do this month? Where are our sources of revenue? Where's our expenses? What are we looking like?
Okay, then am I hitting even closer if I say something about being on top of the business?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be on top of the business. There's no excuse for that.
I got it. But for you, is that feel like a friendly punch in the gut? Like, yes, I want to be on top of the business.
Yeah, you can say that. I don't enjoy what I have to do. I know I need to do it. When I'm done, I feel really good. Look at our numbers. Wow. It's great.
Great. Except for maybe a month at the nugget. But, all right. Yeah. So the three question mantra is like this. So first of all, you need to connect the activity with the value, with what's important to you, right? Because the what's important to you, that is the motivator. But what happens in the world that we live in, which is highly distractible, we forget that connection, right? So all it is a simple activity that helps make that connection. So first of all, we have to just make that connection. So let's say that the value is being on top of your business, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, connected to being successful and that kind of thing. So what you do is, like, let's say you're getting ready to sit down to do your taxes or your bookkeeping, right? And you ask yourself question number one, do I want to be on top of my business, or do I not want to be on top of my business? Now, if you ask yourself, do I want to be on top of my business, or do I not want to be on top of the business? What's your likely answer?
Well, I think for everybody, it should be yes. If your answer is no, you shouldn't be in business.
Well, probably not, right? Or we certainly missed the wrong motivator. So if you hit yes, then you go to question number two. Do I choose to be on top of my business now? Or do I choose to not be on top of my business now? And now here's the catch. There is no correct answer to number two. It's either I choose to be on top of it, top of my business now, or I choose to not be on top of the business now.
And by now, like, I mean,
in this moment,
right? So like a specific day, instead of kicking the can down the road and saying, okay, I'll take care of this next week, like we often do, saying right now.
Well, you're sitting there, you're about to make a decision about whether or not to do your darn bookkeeping or not.
Yeah.
And so rather than getting stuck of like, oh, I really don't want to do this now, what am I doing tomorrow? All you're doing is you're asking yourself whether you choose right now to be on top of your business or not. And if the answer is, I choose to be on top of my business, then you get a number three, which is what action do I need to take right now? So that simple process, all it does is it reconnects you with why this is important, right? And it's about being on top of the business. It's not about bookkeeping. It's about being on top of your business. And even more than that, about running a successful business, being a successful business owner, right? And sometimes you just got, you know, well, what's important about that? Well, because I want to, whatever, be like really proud. I want my kids to be proud of me or something like that, right? And you know that you got it when it feels like a friendly punch in the gut.
I like that, Jeff. And I can see how that would apply in a lot of different situations. So bookkeeping would be one. Sometimes maybe, you know, it could be having a difficult conversation with a staff member. Sometimes we put that off, but then you realize, well, actually, by doing this, I'm going to free up a lot of other mental bandwidth, you know, that's occupying my time right now, and maybe even making my other staff members less productive. So I'm going to go ahead and do this instead of kicking the can down the road. So you can use that as motivators. I want to focus a little bit on what you said just a moment ago here. So you want your kids to be happy for you. So now my kids now are both off in college. Just a couple of weeks ago, I became an empty nester. Very weird feeling for me. And so, you know, it's a lot quieter around the house. Granted, I got more time, and what do I do at work? And so, so sometimes you just have a personal distraction that's keeping you from being motivated. Now, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? How do you, I mean, you can't not think about those things. Those things going on in your personal life, you know? So how do you stay motivated?
Yeah. So first of all, three things. One, honor the distraction. Two, create space for the distraction. And then three, get a motivation buddy, right? So honor the distraction. Like, take that moment. It showed up in your consciousness. Take that moment, you know, and honor each of your two kids. Even honor the what it means to be an empty nester. Two, create a real space for it, right? So knowing that every day at 3 o'clock, I'm going to, you know, have 15 minutes to be in the space of, you know, honoring my kids or, you know, what it means to be an empty nester, like getting them this far. And then three, a motivation buddy, right? So I don't know if you've done this. I have, which is, you know, whether it's a spouse or, you know, another business owner, say, you know, hey, listen, can we talk, you know, will you call me like at 2 o'clock? I'm going to make some goals of what I want to accomplish before 2. And will you call me and, you know, check in with me and see how I'm doing, right? No judgment, just check in. And then if they might say, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'll make some goals too. And when we check in, I'll share with you what I've done. And then that's it. You're just sharing what you've done. And then it's like, okay, will you call me back again at 5? Right. So you're breaking it down into little chunks, and you're having somebody in a friendly way hold you accountable, but without making it a shaming moment.
I like that. Having a motivation buddy. I've never actually thought of even doing that. That's a really nice idea where you just have somebody, look, can you just call me and ask me how I'm doing? Wow. Sounds so simple.
So simple. And you know, you keep looking at the clock, right? Yeah. You know, versus like, well, I've got till whatever time, and you know, and then you waste the time rather than staying focused and hire idle to get it done.
I do like that, because sometimes you just need that little touch point with somebody to just share, even if it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then you get off the phone and then you're kind of back, you know, it just kind of breaks that whatever spiral you might have been in. You know,
that's right. So put the call in a headset and use that time to also walk around, give yourself, you know, maybe you have a call every 90 minutes, whatever works for you and possibly the other, you know, person. Right.
So how frequently do you think something like that should happen? I mean, like,
well, it's an individual thing, but I, you know, so for me, you know, I've done it, you know, usually just, you know, 2 or 3 times or something, you know, sometimes like if somebody's that you're speaking with is going to be somewhere, like I'll just like they'll say, like I'll be, I don't know, home around 2, so they don't even know that they're my motivation buddy. Right, like I'm like, okay, I'm gonna like, you know, try to do this and this and this before they come home. Right. Okay. So it doesn't even have to be so overt. Right. But it's whatever you need. Right. And, you know, you might be somebody that just needs to really break things down into every hour, you know, or maybe just someone that needs to break it down by the day or the half a day. That kind of thing.
How do these tie into energy levels, for example? So I know that literally the day that I got home from dropping my baby girl off to college, right, that next day, that Monday, I was just like looking at my screen, and all I could think about was how quiet it was. And not that, like, I mean, she'd go to school during the day. This was no different during the daytime, but it's like, you know, I knew she's going to sleep in the dorm room tonight. She's not coming home tonight, you know? So it was just, yes, you know, very odd. So like the energy level that it took me to show up, but I just really had to, you know, it was the kind of thing where it's funny. I do this sometimes, is I literally will just stop whatever I'm doing, go down and do 10 pushups and then come back up.
That's great.
And it just gets my blood moving in a much, you know, stronger way. And sometimes that helps me. Are there other little, I don't know if that's call that a gimmick or a technique or what, but like other things that people could do?
Yeah. So I'll answer that. But first, I just want to comment on the push-up thing. So when I was in business school, I literally every 90 minutes. So, you know, there is a school of thought that your body rhythm, it goes in 90 minute increments, right? So that you should be taking, yep.
Okay.
So you should be taking a break every 90 minutes for like 5 minutes, and then a little bit longer, even half hour, whatever, after like a couple cycles of that. And if it's physical, even the better. So I literally throughout my entire business school, when I was doing work by myself, I would every 90 minutes get up and do pushups. Right. So, and, yeah, you know, and sometimes I would maybe do sit-ups, right? But that actually, there is a physiological reason to do that. So that's one thing, mm-hmm, right? So you're smarter than you realize.
Okay.
The second thing I would just say in the example that you gave, my phrase of the day is compassion for capacity. Right. So that's a day of like, you know, like leading up to that, I would have been like, okay, so plan on doing nothing after I drop my baby off.
Interesting. So you actually know something's coming.
Yeah.
And because you know it's coming, you actually just put space on the calendar to allow your mind to let it go where it's going
to go. Yes. That's a grieving moment. And, you know, your capacity in a very, very compassionate place is it's, you know, you need a time to grieve, but just from a very practical place, your capacity is lower than it was 2 weeks prior. Mm. Right. And so creating that in your to-do list, like in your calendar, should be a recognition of where your capacity is going, where your energy, how much energy you're going to have, based on what's happening in your life. And I would say, try to stack the deck where you know you're going to have greater capacity, and then really give yourself a break when you're not.
You know, this really answers that one question I have here, which is how do leaders get back on track when something derails them or when they're struggling to make progress? And so part of that is just allowing the emotions to come out, allowing that space to happen, and then scheduling time on your calendar to actually just like do all those activities that you really need to get done. Have that motivation, buddy. I like all that. Very nice techniques that people could use. You going to say something?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, and creating space to really allow yourself to feel the emotion. Yeah. You know, psychological law, whatever we resist persists. So if you try to shove it back without giving it a space to really be with it.
Yeah.
The other thing I would just say is,
whatever we resist persists. That's a really good one.
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah, I like persists. That. Yep. Yeah.
And then real quick, don't personalize. It's not like I'm sad or I'm frustrated. It's there's sadness. There's frustration. Oh, look at that. Right. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you say I am, you just made your whole being this unpleasant emotion. Mm-hmm. And that's not accurate. There's just a physiological sensation that we label sadness or frustration or anger or some other sense of unpleasantness. And so you want to sort of recognize it and externalize it without grabbing into it or over identifying with it.
Yeah. You know, there's one more thing that I know that some leaders use for staying motivated. And one of my friends came up with this. He calls it an imagination day or imagination morning. And, you know, to your point about spending your Saturdays just to work on your business. So he would do something very similar where he would just go to a local nearby hotel where he just goes to the cafe and he stays there for 3 hours, turns the phone off. Nobody can call him. Only emergencies kind of thing. And he just thinks. And he thinks about what he needs to do for growing the business, where the bottlenecks are, what can he do to relieve the bottlenecks, and not actually focusing on any kind of client-facing, product-facing, service-facing activity. It's just on the business. And he does this, I think once a month, once every 2 months or so, and he just comes back recharged, refreshed, yeah. Notebook full of ideas. I think that's just a wonderful thing. And you put it on your calendar. This is my imagination morning.
Yeah, no, I love it. And the two pieces that are really critical that I like is one, changing the environment, right? And combined with that is avoiding the normal distractions, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and even having the place, my father used to have a cabin in West Virginia and I would drive there quarterly to do the working on the business stuff. And there wasn't anything else to do. It was in the edge of a cliff. There was nothing there. And, you know, just, you know, wrote whole business plans, you know, like just a very helpful, you know, way to reflect on the business and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that physical environment, like it's got a much bigger impact that I think people believe it to be. So very important point. Well, thank you, Jeff. I really enjoyed the conversation about motivation. I know that's something that everybody, wherever they are in their career, struggles with sometimes. So I appreciate your insights and the techniques. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.